With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Welcome to the Get Fit Guys, quick and dirty tips to get moving and shape up. My name is Brock Armstrong. I'm the Get Fit Guy. And you know what? Science and anecdotal evidence both agree that just a few minutes of exercise per day can boost your current mood and protect against future bouts of depression. That's right. Even if your gym, your rec center, pool, or dance class is currently unavailable, it is still possible, not to mention really important, to get your body up and moving. Doing activities that raise your heart rate, challenge your muscles, and move your body beyond its normal range of motion, and by that I mean challenging your mobility, your coordination, and your balance, well, it not only helps you stay fit, but it can also boost your mood, lower stress levels, and, like I said, prevent future bouts of depression. It's true. Even simple aerobic exercises like walking, housework, or playing with your kids or your pets can encourage your body to release endorphins. And endorphins are a group of hormones that are secreted within your brain and your nervous system that trigger a number of, well, almost magical physiological functions. Those wondrous functions include reducing pain and stress, warding off anxiety and feelings of depression, boosting self-esteem, and even improving your sleep. With direct benefits like that, well, it's not hard to imagine how exercise can help manage depression as well. And luckily, thanks to the scientists at the American Psychiatric Association, well, we don't have to imagine. We have the research. In fact, a recent study on exercise and the prevention of depression aimed to determine whether or not exercise provides protection against new onset depression. It also aimed to pinpoint the intensity and the amount of exercise that's required to gain that protection, and how exactly that protection might work. To do this, the researchers examined 33,908 adults selected on the basis of having no symptoms of common mental disorders or limiting physical health conditions. The researchers followed them for 11 years. They collected measures of exercise, depression, and anxiety, along with a range of potentially confounding mediating factors. What they concluded was that regular exercise of any intensity does indeed provide protection against future depression. Even relatively modest changes in levels of exercise may have, and I quote, important public mental health benefits and prevent a surprisingly high number of new cases of depression. Now, the study suggested that 12% of future cases of depression could have been prevented if the participants had engaged in at least 1 hour of physical activity each week. Interestingly, the majority of the protective effects occurred at low levels of exertion and were observed regardless of intensity. Then there's another study called the Hunt Cohort Study that followed thousands of participants in Norway for 9 to 13 years. For that study, they found volunteers by inviting the entire population of Norway, aged 20 and older, to fill out a basic screening form for depression and anxiety. After reviewing the submissions, they invited, well, the happiest 70% to participate. 8,400 were excluded due to some serious physical illness, which left nearly 34,000 people in this study. Now, potentially confounding data such as smoking status, BMI, resting heart rate, and demographic data were collected at various visits over the years. Then blood pressure, heart rate, weight, height, and waist and hip circumference were measured by specifically trained nurses. The research team also accounted for variables that might impact the association between exercise and common mental illness. These included things like socioeconomic and demographic factors, substance use, new onset physical illness, and perceived social support. In the end, about 22,500 participants completed this study. At the beginning of the study, all the participants were asked to report the frequency of weekly exercise and their degree of aerobic intensity using these three categories. Number one, without becoming breathless or sweating. Number two, becoming breathless and sweating. And number three, exhausting themselves. During the follow-up stage of the study, participants completed a self-report questionnaire using what is called the Hospital Anxiety and Depression Scale to indicate whether the subject was experiencing any anxiety or depression during the years of the study. And, in a nutshell, at the end of the study, those participants who exercised were less likely to develop depression than those who didn't exercise. And the cool thing is, it didn't matter how much exercise they did as long as they did some kind of deliberate physical activity for a minimum of 1 hour per week. Yep, according to the study, only 1 hour of exercise for the entire week, and it also did not matter how intense that exercise was. It could be a leisurely bike ride, CrossFit, spin class, or yoga, and we'll get into some other creative options in a little bit. Now, the research author, Samuel Harvey, from the Black Dog Institute of UNSW, stated, "We've known for some time that exercise has a role to play in treating symptoms of depression, but this is the first time we have been able to quantify the preventable potential of physical activity in terms of reducing future levels of depression. These findings are exciting because they show that even relatively small amounts of exercise from 1 hour per week can deliver significant protection against depression." And that is good news for all of us who just can't or don't want to commit to a daily or a lengthy gym session, or can't even imagine signing up to run a marathon. The social and physical health benefits of exercise partially explain the shielding of depression, but the research also reported that some biological mechanisms, like alterations in vagal tone, did not appear to have a role in protecting against depression. So, if the social benefits of exercise make the real impact, it would appear that simply getting out and about, getting your heart rate up and engaging in some active self-care is what makes the real difference. Although the researchers felt that could be the case, a lot still remains unexplained. There is also a question of whether there is a reverse causation going on. And people with mental health issues may struggle to get enough exercise in the first place. So we could be looking at a chicken and egg scenario here. Which comes first, the lack of exercise or the depression? The thought is that if we're sick or blue or overwhelmed, it's our lunchtime workout or our morning jog that's the first thing to get taken off of our to-do list. But the data suggests that if we maintain even a brief schedule of light activity, we lower the chances of developing depression in the future. And you don't even have to step foot in a gym to make that happen. These results drive home the need to integrate exercise into mental health plans and into broader public health campaigns. If we can find ways to increase the population's level of physical activity, even by a small amount, we will likely see substantial physical and mental health benefits across the board. With sedentary lifestyles becoming the norm worldwide and rates of depression being on the rise, these results are particularly important since they highlight that, once again, even a small lifestyle change can lead to significant mental health benefits. Okay, so now you're probably wondering, how do I exercise to prevent depression? Well, first, 60 minutes per week works out to about 8.5714 minutes per day. You could even round that up to 10 minutes per day to make it easy, and potentially give yourself one day per week where if you get too busy or you forget or you otherwise miss your mental health workout, well, you're still on track. But what can you do with 8 to 10 minutes per day? Well, let me tell you. The first thing is you could go for a walk. That's right, let's start with an easy one. The researchers pointed out several times that intensity was not a factor, so why not just get up from your desk, your recliner, or even out from behind your standing workstation and go for a 10 or even 15 minute walk. Your second option is to do some Tabata sets. Now, a Tabata set involves alternating between high intensity and aerobic exercise for 20 seconds of the hard stuff, followed by 10 seconds of the easy, for a total of 4 minutes. So you could do this one twice. This has not only been shown to be a great way to get fit, but it can also boost your mood and clear your head. And you could even do this a few times spread out over the day to give your body and your mind a boost whenever you need it. And your next option is to try the scientific 7-minute workout. The New York Times made this workout famous a few years ago. It involves 12 bodyweight moves that require only a chair, some floor space, and a wall to combine cardio and resistance training into about 7 minutes of mood-boosting discomfort. Now, your next option is to throw a ball or a frisbee around. I mean, why not make it fun? Grab a friend or two and head for a park, an ice rink, or a large parking lot and toss a baseball, football, hockey puck, or frisbee around. I'm willing to bet that not all of your throws will be exactly on target, so aside from the throwing and the catching, there will probably be some running, some diving, and probably some shouting and laughing as well. Your next option is to exercise in nature. Some research published in February of 2020 from an interdisciplinary team at Cornell has found that spending as little as 10 minutes in a natural setting can make us feel happier, while also lessening the effects of both physical and mental stress. The researchers found that 10 to 50 minutes in a natural setting was the most effective amount of time that was needed to improve your mood, your focus, and your physiological markers like blood pressure and heart rate. And your next option is don't drive when you can walk. Is there a way you can avoid sitting in traffic in a car or a bus and get some exercise instead? I'm sure there is. You can park further from the door, get off the bus a few stops early, ride your bike to work, or walk, at least part of the way. I'm a huge believer in what I call adopting a carless mindset, even if you don't want to sell your old clunker and become a pedestrian like me. And your next option is to do some yoga. Exercise scientists have known for decades that aerobic exercise strengthens the brain and contributes to the growth of new neurons, but a new study has examined how yoga affects the brain. A 2019 research article showed that brain changes seen in individuals practicing yoga are associated with not only better performance on cognitive tests, but also on measures of emotional regulation, stress reduction, anxiety, and depression. And another option you have is, well, some of my favorites. I have a few quickie workouts that I do when I'm pressed for time. When I only have 10 minutes to boost my heart rate and my mood, this one is my favorite. And to do this, you just complete this routine as a circuit, just one time through, with minimal rest between exercise. No warm-up required. Now, I'm going to give rep numbers, but remember, only do as many reps as you can do safely with good form. But I'll give you the numbers that I use. 20 bodyweight squats, 10 lunge jumps per side, 10 side plank rotations, 10 front plank taps, 10 lateral lunges per side, 10 squat jumps, then 25 kickouts per side, and then you finish with a 60-second squat hold. Then shake it out, do some light stretching, and get on with your day. And don't worry, you don't have to memorize that. I'll write that all out at quickanddirtytips.com/getfitguy. Along with all the links to the studies and everything else. In a previous Get Fit Guy podcast called How Exercise Affects Your Brain, we looked into how studies show that low levels of two neurotransmitters, glutamate and gamma-aminobutyric acid, or GABA, often lead to depression. But according to a study in the Journal of Neuroscience, moderate exercise can increase these levels, which can result in increased resilience and a capacity to respond to mental challenges. And to drive my point home even further, according to the Mayo Clinic, exercise helps prevent and improve a number of health problems, including high blood pressure, diabetes, and arthritis, which is wonderful. But their ongoing research on depression and exercise also shows that the psychological and physical benefits of exercise can help improve your mood as well. Finally, even though the links between depression and exercise aren't exactly clear, what is clear is that working out, pumping iron, hitting the bricks, pounding the pavement, and all other forms of getting your body moving can definitely ease symptoms of depression, protect against future episodes of depression, and just make you feel darn good. All right, that does it for this week, everybody, but make sure you tune in next week when I'm going to talk about those Fitspiration images you look at on Instagram and Pinterest, and whether or not they're doing more harm than good. So if you're a fan of those things, you're not going to want to miss this one. Now, my name is Brock Armstrong. I'm the Get Fit Guy, and you can find me as the Get Fit Guy on Facebook and Twitter, and also on the Quick and Dirty Tips website at quickanddirtytips.com/getfitguy. And if you want to reach out to me, you can find me at brockarmstrong.com. Now, what are you waiting for? Get out there and move your body for your mental health.